And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Well, for some of you, the fantasy hockey playoffs are here. Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. Hello and welcome to another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga and Anna Dua with you. Producer Bob Bender behind the scenes. Still getting ready for March Madness. What's up, Anna?
It's going great, Nick. Happy to be here with you. Happy to be with Bob, too. Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Excited to dive into it.
The Week 22 Waiver Wire Edition, where has the time gone? We sprung forward this past weekend, getting set for the fantasy playoffs, as yours truly is, and there's just so much to cover. I think the one thing you'll learn right off the way, I love schedule manipulation. I don't know how you feel about that tactic this time of year, but when you're playing in a head-to-head, do you like just bulking up on your roster in terms of game volume?
Absolutely. We know you love schedule manipulation at this point. Nick's saying it like it's a hot take, even though he says it at the end of every single episode we film. But that's just the way to go. I'll give it to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So first and foremost, let's look at the schedule for this upcoming week. 54 games in total. So the 14 teams in general, Anna, that we want to target this week: Boston, Buffalo, Colorado, Columbus, Dallas, Montreal, Nashville, Jersey, the Rangers, Tampa, Toronto, Vancouver, Washington, and Winnipeg. And the two game teams that, you know, up to you know, interpretation, but if your guy's under 50% owned and rostered, I think I'm dumping out. Detroit and Florida are those teams. And in general, the Panthers have been so disappointing anyways, right?
They have. They're the team that's the odd one out right now for me in the Eastern Conference wildcard hunt. I just don't think they're going to be able to squeak in there. The big guys that I know a lot of people in fantasy, if they had, are just so disappointed in Aaron Ekblad and et cetera. It's just been a tough year for Florida. I know I was talking a little bit actually recently about how in the off season this past year, we talked about who won the trade between Calgary and Florida. And given where they are in the standings, Nick, it seems like both of them somehow managed to lose.
I have this infamous tweet. I'm sure if you go back and look at it, there's a lot of responses still filtering in where I just buried Florida, but I'm right there with you. Matthew Tkachuk by far has lived up to expectation. I would say from a fantasy point of view, right? I think you look at everybody else involved in that deal, namely the Calgary guys, have been nowhere close, but you're right. Like it's been lose-lose so far. And I'm looking for a couple of years down the road to revisit that trade. I'm sure there'll be some big ones this offseason as well. But again, taking a look at that schedule, Buffalo and Colorado are teams I'm handicapping this week. In essence, you want teams on a light schedule, right? Like the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, excuse me, what Buffalo has. Colorado's got a Monday, Wednesday slate this week. You want to plug and play some guys in the top six. We'll see what happens with Alex Tuck here. I know he's sort of been a game time the last couple of days, and maybe he comes back. But like even a Jordan Greenway, I would look at. From a Colorado perspective, I see a lot of people picking up Evan Rodriguez this week.
I think he's a good option. Pete's punching the air somewhere in Long Island right now, hearing Evan Rodriguez being mentioned on this podcast when he's not here. Always a good option, but I'm leaning more towards Buffalo right now. They're losing these games, but a lot of their players are still playing well. So it might as well be a good time to stream their offense. I like Jack Quinn. I thought he did a good job filling Alex Tuck's role for that little bit. I know Jordan Greenway's playing there right now, but I still like Jack Quinn playing with Dylan Cousins. So I'm a big fan of those two on the second line. So I'd maybe lean that way. But Evan Rodriguez is a good option too. Colorado is just such a strong team across the board. You really can't go wrong.
Oh, no way. For sure. And I think you even look at that back end, two guys like Gerard and Bowen Byram. I think this is the week where you start to bulk up. I'm looking forward to that game on Wednesday, Toronto and Colorado as well. But the Avalanche have Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa, and Detroit all on the road. And I think there's a couple teams obviously in there they can get in track meets with. So certainly from that perspective, love Colorado this week. I would also look at the Boston Bruins. We saw Tyler Bertuzzi get promoted to the second line this past weekend with Krejci and Pastrnak. Obviously, some other guys, DeBrusk, Orlov, Zacha. There's a variety of different options, believe it or not, in Boston right now, too.
Yeah, you said that first, actually. I know a lot of people were doubting us when we were talking about Bertuzzi because they said he was going to be on the third line, and you were like, he might move up to the second line, and that's exactly what he did. I said he wasn't going to be available if he did, because who's going to be available if they're playing with David Pastrnak? So I hope you picked him up after you listened to us last time, guys, because we were right. But yeah, Boston, a lot of good options, I think. Once again, it's just a team like Colorado. But I kind of want to shift the talk over to a team with some waiver wire pickups that is technically out of the playoff hunt. I know some people down there are still convinced that they can make it in, but that's Washington for me right now. I like their schedule. I like a couple of guys. Dylan Strome, most notably, he just falls in and out of being a must pick up to like being readily available on the waiver wire. I like where he plays in the lineup. And then Rasmus Sandin, if he's still available, like, what are you doing? This guy's having a ridiculous start to his time with his new team. So those two are some big targets in my eyes.
Yeah, last I saw in Sandin, he's around 50% rostered, which is crazy. And I think you even think back a couple weeks ago when he was a Leaf, he was like maybe 10, 15% owned. I agree with you on both fronts, specifically on Sandin. It's so hard to find defensemen who produce on a nightly basis in fantasy hockey. And you look at the body of work on Sandin, 4 games, a goal and 7 assists and 8 points. And again, the attachment to Alexander Ovechkin, like as we get closer and closer to the conclusion of this season, John Carlson is nowhere to be found. They shipped off Erik Gustafsson. Like, the pathway to opportunity is there when it comes to Rasmus Sandin. And Washington's just one of those teams lingering around right now in the Eastern Conference standings. Like, it really is fascinating to me that, you know, they were definitive sellers at the deadline, but they're still sniffing around the conversation right now.
They are, rightfully so. You can't ever count out these teams with the veteran core group that they have, right? Alex Ovechkin's still a stud in this league. He's having a great year going after Gretzky's goal record. Like, he's going to put up points. He's going to keep his team in the race all the way till the very end. And based off of that, you can pick up some of these secondary scorers that benefit off of him, like Dylan Strome, who might be like the deciding factor on your fantasy team right now.
Without question. And again, Washington's a team that we're handicapping this week, a 4-game slate, Tom Wilson, Nick Backstrom. It's so funny on those two fronts, and I understand they're coming back from serious injuries, but they've yet to pop off. And I think from a fantasy perspective, and you're looking for those 4-game slates, maybe you take a look at those two players specifically, again, because of the schedule and because of the resumes and the track records, that eventually those guys will pop off here. I've been waiting and waiting. One of my rosters, and I've had both guys since they came back, and just not much doing right now.
We kind of saw that with TJ Oshie. He went on a really hot stretch recently because he found his groove. And with these guys, it just takes them a little bit of time to find that chemistry in the way they're playing. I really like Tom Wilson on that first line playing with Alex Ovechkin. I liked him there a couple of seasons ago. I think that's where he thrives with Kuzi in center. So I'm hoping something happens for him. He really needs it right now. Nicholas Backstrom's just so tough because I'm struggling to figure out how he fits in with the Capitals after returning from that injury. It seems like his regular spot's been taken over. Now, Dylan Strome and Kuzi are the two centers in their top six. So with Backstrom, I'm doubting him a little bit more than Tom Wilson. But Wilson, I have to absolutely stream on that top line.
That's the thing, too, with Backstrom. He doesn't shoot the puck. So it makes him very one-dimensional. He's not really going to score. He picks up assists, maybe power play points. But I think he is being squeezed out. And to your point, like Dylan Strome, as you wrote about this week, on pace for, 56 points? Like, he's put together a nice piece of work. And obviously that's why he gained the contract extension a couple of weeks ago from Brian McClellan and company. Mason Marchment, he was a big topic of conversation, if you do recall, in like the first month of the season. Then he went off the radar a bit. He's back in the mix, Anna. A 4-game point streak, 3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points. I know he's playing primarily on the third line, but that Domi Marchment combo is going to be scary come the playoffs to play against, at least.
Yeah, I was just about to say he's playing on that third line, but he's playing with Max Domi, which I really like for him in terms of lineup placement right now. Max Domi's had a pretty good start with Dallas. Marchman's on a bit of a hot streak. I say this all the time, but I feel like Max Domi's somehow one of the most underrated players given his bandwidth in the league right now, because he was doing well in Chicago. Everyone is talking about Patrick Kane, but Max Domi's out there leading them in all of the categories for the Blackhawks with goals and points and everything across the board. Now he's on your third line for the Dallas Stars, and I like that placement. Doesn't matter where you are in the lineup, if you're playing with really hot line mates right now, that's exactly what's happening for Marchment and Domi.
It's just funny from the Domi perspective, like you go from the first line to sort of like a tertiary option on a really, really good NHL Stanley Cup caliber type team in the Dallas Stars, right? And the depth they possess there. And I think he has the opportunity to move up, but I think the value obviously gets hit a bit with the move over to Dallas again. And that combination has been really good, and Domi's been producing, and so has Marchment. So those guys specifically, I would be looking at this week in a 4-game slate for the Dallas Stars. I had to give some love for my guy, Andre Kuzmenko, with the Vancouver Canucks. We've been banging that drum for the majority of this season, ineligible to win the Calder because he's 27, as we know, but he's been outstanding throughout this year. You look at the body of work. I'm still mystified how he's under 60% owned, but a 4-game slate as well for Vancouver. He has 13 goals, Anna, in 19 games under Rick Tocchet. Just think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of the Canucks tag that's kind of causing people to stay away from him. So if you're on Vancouver, I guess you're readily available in a lot of pools, but he's having a great year. He's almost like, I think, a goal per game over his last like 5 or 6 games. I think he has 5 goals in 6 games. So he's a great player. He's so talented. I watch him night after night. I'm continuously impressed by him. I think he has the potential to become one of the best goal scorers in this league in the next coming seasons. I really like the way he figured out a way to fit into the NHL. It's a different style of game than what he's used to playing with, and it's just working out really well. The Canucks team doing him such a disservice. That's all I can say. If he was on any other team, we would be having a very different conversation about him.
Can you explain to me what they're doing in Vancouver? Again, post-deadline conversation aside, like, they're doing this again what they did last year, where they really picked up steam. They got me going to, like, I went on a run in the offseason about Vancouver, but this is pretty much the same thing that Vancouver does. They're incapable of sticking around the lottery conversation, eh?
Yeah, this is happening. It's so weird. Like, Vancouver, Anaheim, like, all of a sudden they're winning these games.
And
what are you doing? Like, and they have good players. That's the thing, right? So it's not like the Canucks are just like a down and out team. There are good players on this team, like Kuzmenko, Pettersson, just go up and down the lineup, Quinn Hughes. And so it's now kind of beginning to show why this team is winning games, but they're going on this weird streak. Anaheim is stranger to me than Vancouver, just because what are they doing? Like, Mason McTavish is popping off. Finally, I had him win the Calder this year and he decided to show up in the middle of March. So thanks so much for waiting that long. John Gibson is now like, I'm going to win the Vezina based off of this month alone. So like, I don't know what's going off in Anaheim or Vancouver, but hey, it gives you some options of people to pick up. John Gibson, if he's available in your leagues.
I find this time of year, it's so hard to handicap teams. Like, even cellar dwellers always seem to rise up amidst the injuries, specifically like a couple weeks after the deadline where the pressure is off for some of these guys. They seem to get in sort of these trap games and win these trap games, especially when you know the pressure is on for some of these teams around the league who are fighting for their playoff lives. Like, even the past weekend, the Ottawa Senators, the Flyers involved in that conversation, the Calgary Flames, where you expect some of these teams to steamroll, are being steamrolled by the opposition. Like, it's intriguing to me.
Yeah, it's crazy, to be honest. It's fun, right? March Madness. March Madness has hit the NHL officially. Everything's like upside down across the board. The teams that need to win aren't winning. Buffalo is just like trying to get into the playoffs so badly, and night after night is just not working out for them recently. Yeah. But then Anaheim and Vancouver are going on crazy hot streaks, looking like some of the best teams in the league right now out of nowhere and knocking themselves out of the Bedard sweepstakes, basically. So I don't really know what's going on right now.
Are you back in on the Pittsburgh Penguins, Anna? Because again, they flip-flop like crazy. They're doing it again. A guy specifically I think people should look at in the waiver wire, Jason Zucker, has 9 goals in his past 8 games. He's got the Malkin attachment. He's got 0 assists. But when a guy's on fire like this, you almost have to take a flyer, no?
He's been on our waiver wire list like pretty consistently, I want to say, this entire season, because you do. It's lineup placement. Once again, they're like the Capitals, just in a different font, right? You have the guys who are tried and true and proven elite players in this league. You're going to pick up the guys who are playing with them. I've never been out on the Penguins. One of these teams I knew were going to be in the playoffs this year, Pittsburgh or Washington. Doesn't look like Washington right now. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to find their way out. I think it's going to be the New York Islanders and the Pittsburgh Penguins. I would have changed my answer if you'd asked me a week ago, based off of maybe one of the Senators or the Sabres squeaking in, but right now I think those two are locked in for me. What do you think, Nick?
No, I agree with you. Like, and again, it's so funny, we have this conversation on the show like every Monday, and last week I know we were big on Buffalo to a degree in the Ottawa Senators, and the Sens came out with that stinker against Chicago, and it's funny how quickly the conversation can change, because as you mentioned, and we'll have this for the record coming up next week, but like, just how confident we seem to feel in teams like Pittsburgh and the Islanders, but that can all change on a whim with a couple losses. Like, it really is crazy, the flip-flop and the back and forth. But to me, the Ottawa Senators, I thought had a real chance of getting in here, and just a couple of just disappointing losses over the last week, they're finished in my world, Anna.
I think they are, which maybe means time to pick up some other players on the Islanders or the Penguins, since they've kind of solidified themselves away from these two teams that were like nagging at their ankles last week. What do you think about Casey Cizikas? I want to ask you this. He's like available in every single league across the board. There's like a 100% chance right now that he's available. Good category coverage guy. He's been picking up points as of late. The Islanders really, really cementing that they want to be in the postseason this year. And they'd be like kind of a nuisance team to have. Like, I wouldn't want to play against the Islanders in the postseason if I had to. So would you stream any of these guys that you would kind of overlook usually just based off of the way they're playing right now?
Yeah, especially in a DFS list, I would definitely look at Casey Cizikas, as you have in your write-up this week, NHL.com/fantasy. 5 points in the past 6 games, 1 goal, 4 assists. I think you want attachment to hot teams, to your point. And the Islanders have been playing much better as of late. They've been scoring some goals. My guy Brock Nelson's on fire, which I love to see in fantasy hockey too. So at the very least, you take a sniff, you take a flyer. It's probably, you know, a play for me that's probably going to be a nightly play as opposed to like a weekly play when you pick up a guy and you know you're going to stream him for the entire week. But I think he's a good streamer look. Like, I think you have to look outside the box. And I always like to preach this time of year, like, don't be afraid to cut out on marquee talent. Like, a guy who comes up right away is Thomas Chabot. Like, I'm so done with this guy, right? We talked about him a couple of weeks ago when they made the Chychrun trade. Chychrun's clearly emerged as the better of the two in fantasy or reality for that matter. There's Jake Sanderson in that conversation. He's a guy that's really, really disappointed me. But what I'm striving for here in this conversation is just saying, like, don't be afraid to cut bait on these guys, even though they've been marquee names. Even though Chabot's, well, you know, was in the top 100 going into the season, move on from these guys, right?
I kind of forgot who said on our podcast last time.
You did.
Chychrun would. Oh, really? Oh my God! Go. So there smart, such a yeah. such a talented and well-educated decision on choosing Jacob Chychrun over Thomas Chabot. So I hope people listen to me and not Nick. But talking about some of these, like new guys, maybe like after the trade deadline that are really finding their own with their new team.
Yeah.
Someone who's really impressed me, rightfully so, Nino Niederreiter with Winnipeg. Yeah. Is having like one heck of a time with his new team right now. He's getting points pretty much every single night, scoring goals all across the board. I like where he's playing. He's just like made this Winnipeg Jets team back, a team to consider back in my eyes right now, because they kind of lost me with the way Connor Hellebuck was playing. And he's under 30% rostered in most leagues right now. Mm-hmm. He would be an option that I would probably pick up for like the rest of the year, to be honest, not just this week for a short-term loan, because I really like the way he's playing on this team.
Especially in that top six, right? With Cole Perfetti out long-term, I think it's an easy play. I'm right there with you. Winnipeg in general has been a massive disappointment the last month and a half. And I talked about it with my stuff for Daily Fantasy this week, Connor Hellebuck. And maybe that was a start on Sunday, that win against Tampa, 33 save effort. Maybe he gets going a bit. I do think it's a bit of fatigue here, but Winnipeg's still a sleeper for me because I do think they have under the radar type depth. I think it would be great to get Nikolai Ehlers going. Mark Scheifele's had a good year. Blake Wheeler's had a bounce back season. Obviously, they got some injuries right now, namely to Pierre-Luc Dubois, that they have to fix if they want to be a legitimate contender here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But they're battling for their playoff lives, right? And I think with that, as we've mentioned throughout this podcast, guys are going to be playing. Like, there's still pressure. I think the one trap you fall into as a fantasy owner this time of year is guys who are less motivated than others. Let's say you're on a cellar dweller or you're on a team that's guaranteed to be in a playoff spot and just not really playing for much in the final 16, 17 games of the season. So I like motivated players. I like that look, Anna.
Yeah, for sure. And for in terms of motivated players, I know we talked a little bit about how the Vancouver tag kind of lets a lot of these guys slip in the eyes of a lot of people playing fantasy. Does the Seattle tag do the same? Because week after week, Nick, so many guys on the Seattle Kraken team who are having ridiculous seasons. I know Jared McCann's your boy right now. Mm-hmm. He was your delivery of the week last week, and he's having a phenomenal year. Like, among all NHL skaters, routinely still available in a decent amount of pools on the waiver wire. Jaden Schwartz, I can go down the list. There's so many guys on the Seattle Kraken team that you can pick up that I think are must pickups at this point, but are people staying away from them because they just don't trust Seattle, even though Seattle is still doing fine in the standings?
In short, yes. I'm sorry to break it to people out there. They're making the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they're a pretty damn good team. Do I have question marks about their goaltending? Probably, but they're really, really structured. And the one misconception with this team is they can score. Like, this is not Seattle from year one, as you referenced there. Like, there's a lot of guys on that roster who can produce. McCann, as you mentioned, by far my most favorite delivery of the week this year by our good friends at Skip. It's been fantastic with Beniers and Eberle. Like, it seems like line 1 through 3, they could all produce and chip in. It's very similar to like the St. Louis Blues a couple years ago. Speaking of which, Vince Dunn's had a breakout season, which you guys forecasted over at the NHL fantasy team. But again, the goaltending's a bit of concern. But I do, like, to your point, like, you look at Seattle, you're like, especially seeing what you saw out of them in the first year and the lack of marquee fantasy talent. And then you look at year two, it's like, I think people tend to stay away, which is a good point.
it blows my mind because we're so deep into the year, fantasy playoffs, everything is just getting upswing. We've seen what they've been able to do so far this year, and people still aren't streaming. Like, how is a guy with 33 goals on the year still available in quite literally any league? So anyone who's listening, by the time we film this episode next Monday, if Jared McCann is still on my waiver wire list, I will come out and personally get you. That is my threat.
Oh, okay. I like that. Clip that. So I got to correct you. Earlier, you just said that you're never wrong. Well, I seem to recall you and Pete burying Jonathan Quick, and now Jonathan Quick, the Bruce Cassidy factor, as I like to bring up. He's 3-0, a 1.97, a 939, one shutout. I know it's early on in his tenure, but he seems to be a bit rejuvenated. And again, we love motivated players. You think Jonathan Quick is motivated to prove people wrong? Not to mention, I love the revenge angle. Imagine Vegas and Los Angeles got together in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That would be epic stuff.
Absolutely. I tweeted out earlier that Jonathan Quick was going to be on his revenge tour, and that seems like exactly what he's doing right now. I want to see him do well. Okay. I'm not rooting against him. I like the upside of Korpisalo more, rightfully so. The guy deserves a chance. He deserves a chance on a contending team and a playoff team, and that's what he's getting. But Jonathan Quick has proven himself in this league. You can never count out a guy who's a Stanley Cup champion, especially if he's a goalie. They know how to get it done, and Jonathan Quick knows how to get it done when he wants to. And I think I wouldn't want to play against him in the playoffs. I'll give him that. I don't know if I'm confident that he's going to be able to keep up his hot start. I'm definitely not, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt to prove me wrong.
I will say I've been really, really impressed by Vegas. I know going into the season, I said they wouldn't make the postseason. They obviously are going to get in. Bruce Cassidy's done a great job. It just shows you how integral and important it is to rack up points in the first half. Although in the second half, specifically without Mark Stone, I think they've been really, really locked in defensively. And that's why you're seeing those type of numbers here from Jonathan Quick. To your point on Los Angeles, so far it's been sort of a tandem share here with Phoenix Copley and Jonas Korpisalo. They're going back and forth, but you know, Minnesota's one of those teams nobody's talking about. Los Angeles also involved in that conversation. Since the trade deadline, you talk about teams that have been boosted. They've been fantastic, Anna.
Yeah, they really have. The Western Conference, too, is just like setting these teams up to be able to get something going because they're not having this cutthroat competition that's happening out east where all these teams got these juggernaut players and they're fighting against each other. Standings matter within your own division now more than ever in the east. And the West are trying to like move guys around, trying to figure out what works. The coaches are showing up and a lot of these teams improved heavily after the trade deadline. And I think it's very evident right now. It's pretty solidified, to be honest, in the Pacific and the Central. They're just kind of like competing with each other to see where all of those teams fall. But at the end of the day, like there's solid teams in the West. It's going to be fun to watch in the playoffs, but there's nothing too concerned to be about heading down the stretch of the regular season.
So I know the time change. What time is Timo time? Because I don't know if that time's being registered right now in Jersey, Anna. Five games, one goal. And I just think from a fantasy perspective, it really, really hurts the time of year. We talked about Hellebuck. We talked about it last week with Vasilevsky. Like these are your core pillars to your fantasy roster. And they're really, really disappointing. And I think this could have been expected. I think it's an underrated conversation to have when a player moves, especially a guy like, Meyer, all he knew was San Jose in his career. He goes to Jersey where there's so many big boys around him. It's going to take him some time. But from a fantasy owner perspective, I don't have time to waste here.
Very true. I'm not going to lie to you. I was at that game last night when the Canes were in town. Obviously, I was there. But
Chekhov,
got to see him play for the first time. I think that's the first Canes game I've been to that he was in net. But for Timo Meier, guys, like there was a point, I think like halfway through the first period where I was like, did he get hurt? Because I haven't seen him do quite literally anything tonight. Mm-hmm. But then I saw his little name flash up on the scoreboard. And I was like, no, he's playing, but he's just so not noticeable on this Devils team. He was so forgettable. And it's tough because he's been putting up, I think like four shots on net minimum in three of his past four games. So he's doing what he did in San Jose. It's just not clicking in Jersey because all of a sudden he goes from playing the San Jose system, which is very established in a very specific way of playing hockey, to this like young, funky New Jersey Devils team that just kind of goes out on a whim and tries different things every night. They have a lot of playmakers. They have a lot of guys who are super young, trying different things, trying to find their own way in the league. And Timo Meier, even though he's not that old, seems to like kind of not being able to fit in with the young groove that Jersey's got going on. So this is tough. This is a real tough look for him right now.
As I love to say, there's only one puck to go around, right? When the puck's always on Jack Hughes' stick and Dougie Hamilton on the back end and Brett and, you know, Heischer up front, like there's just so many guys.
Dawson Mercer.
Yeah, and Dawson Mercer. Can't forget Dawson Mercer. I think this was expected. I think Meyer is figuring it out quite quickly. This is not San Jose. I believe you were at the game last week against Toronto. I thought Meyer was awful in that game. He set up Mitch Marner for a shorthanded breakaway goal. He's fighting it. Like, there's no doubt about it. From a fantasy perspective, all you can do is exercise patience. Like, Meyer's not a guy you're dumping out on or dropping, right? Sadly.
You can't because his upside is so high, and it's not like he's not like doing anything.
Well, Lilly is doing nothing. Yeah.
Okay, true. But he's putting up shots. I'll give him the credit of putting up. That's what he does. That's what he did in San Jose too. He puts up shots. So that's the only thing he's got going for him right now. But if he was like not doing anything, like getting like two shots, one shot a night, I'd be like, okay, like maybe, but like his upside is just still so high. He could turn it on any second. It's just hard to watch, to be honest. I was really excited for him to come over here. I was excited to maybe see Timo Meier and the Devils play Patrick Kane and the Rangers in the first round, but it seems like the Rangers are winning this conversation in terms of getting these big name guys over to this side of the country. And it's just like Patrick Kane, even though he hasn't had the hottest start, it's better than Timo Meier's right now, right?
Yeah. He scored a goal. Kane's starting to cook a bit. Speaking of which, another guy's starting to cook very under the radar. He's under 15% owned. He's on the Arizona Coyotes. I like this pickup specifically with Nick Schmaltz out, who's, you know, he's got a lingering LBI right now, but 16 points in 17 games since All-Star weekend for Barrett Hayton. 2 goals and 2 assists on Sunday. He's been a sneaky good story here and really finding his game at the NHL level.
I like Barrett Hayton. I've liked him for some time. I've been waiting for him to like figure out his groove. Arizona gives these guys opportunities to find their own as players too, just because there is no competition. You said there's only one puck to go around in New Jersey, and it's Jack Hughes' puck. In Arizona, it's everyone's puck, and they can test out whatever they want to do. He's playing on that top line. I like where he's playing. He's making the most of it right now, and I think he's definitely a good option to pick up, even for the short term, while the Arizona deals with the injuries that they have.
Got some listener questions. You ready, Anna?
So ready. So excited.
Jay writes in, Lekkonen or Laine rest of season? Who do you have, Anna Dua?
Can you believe that we're asking this right now?
I know.
Like, can you believe
that? Well, I am. You know my stance on Laine, but go ahead.
Yeah, like I want to flash back to when like Lekkonen was in Montreal and tell people in Montreal that one day we would be asking who you would rather have, Lekkonen or Laine. But honestly, I'm going Lekkonen right now, to be honest, just because he's on a way stronger team. Columbus is down and out. They're done. They just don't exist anymore. That's a team that I'm fading all across the board, no matter how much I like Boone Jenner. So that team's just out in my eyes. I think Lekkonen's the clear answer. He has phenomenal lineup placement. He's going to get secondary production, even if he does absolutely nothing on that Avalanche team.
Fade Laine till I die. I'm at that point in fantasy hockey. I've just owned him way too many times. He's just disappointed me. So I'm with Lekkonen. Obviously, Colorado can score goals with the best of them. And we know Columbus is banged up. They lack the depth up the middle. So I'm going with Lekkonen on that front, Jay. Wolves or Graham writes in, Byram, Orlov, Bouchard, drop one. Categories are goals, assists, power play points, hits, and blocks. So Bouchard's running the first power play unit, as we know, for the most part with the Oilers. But I still think the higher upside here, Anna, is with Byram and Orlov. So Bouchard would be the one of those three I would drop here.
I agree. Even though I was high on him earlier, I'm still not as confident in him just as a player. I think we're still waiting to see if he's going to be able to fulfill this role fully that he has right now. Orlov's on the first power play unit for Boston, guys. I think that's the best option of those three at the moment for me. He's really finding his own with this team. He's playing with elite players across the board. Boston just like having a ridiculous season so far. So everyone's doing well as a result. And I like Orlov a lot. I like Byram too. I am a little skeptical just because he does go on high highs and low lows. Mm-hmm. So that's the only reason I'd be a little bit worried about him. But I think Bouchard is the clear drop out of those three.
Yeah, that's fair. In terms of injuries, a lot of them the last week or so that I wanted to get to, we mentioned Schmaltz. Josh Morrissey didn't play over the weekend. They're saying maybe Tuesday, but the lower body injury. The more and more I watch Morrissey, I know he's unlikely to win the Norris Trophy, but you want to talk about breakout players. This guy has been incredible this season. And the one thing every time I watch him, it's more so his skating. I didn't think he was this good a skater, but Morrissey's been outstanding for this team this year.
He's a phenomenal skater. He's a phenomenal player. I mean, oh my God, what a season he was having. It's tough. You know, like the Norris Trophy is just so, so tough this year. I think Erik Karlsson's probably run away with it at this point with the bounce back year he's had. But Josh Morris, he deserves all the credit in the world for the way he's playing. He really took a step that I didn't know was possible for him. Erik Karlsson, we all knew, was an elite defenseman in the past, right? And he found a way to get back to that. But Josh Morrissey, I never expected him to reach this level in his NHL career. I really hope he continues it next year. And it's not just a one-off season for him, but it's just been so great to watch him. He's a great playmaker too. I think that's really important to note.
Adam Fox fans, I hear you, but to me, it's still Erik Karlsson who's winning this award, and he's back into relevancy in fantasy hockey, which you love to see. So Neil Pionk's a guy I think I would handicap if Morrissey can't continue to play here to run that first power play unit. Svechnikov gets hurt in Carolina too, so monitor that very, very closely. Again, this is a big time of year with injuries and also the fantasy playoffs, so you want to make sure you're ahead of these conversations. Kaprizov, we talked about last week. Sam Steele's a guy who's been elevated in that lineup. It's funny, for as long as we talked about those Minnesota Wild unders hitting, now their overs are hitting like crazy.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, it's so, like, the team just changes when you take out, like, big-name guys like that, right? Like, now they're playing a very different style of hockey. Like, in terms of Kaprizov, it's Kaprizov and the Minnesota Wild. That's how I describe that team. He runs that team. When he's out of the mix, they're playing a completely different style of hockey, and that's very evident with the way they've been playing right now. I think there's some fantasy value there in his absence, but it's going to be tough. I could see Minnesota falling into a slump rather quickly, whereas Carolina, I hope Svech isn't out for too long. I know. It's my guy. I hope not. I went all the way to Jersey. Canes got blown out. David Satriano had his little New Jersey Devils shoes up against the glass, and Andrei Svechnikov wasn't even playing. So tough night for me last night, guys. But I don't know if I would take a guy like Puljujarvi, who's now on their first line in Svech's absence. I don't know if that's something I would do. I'm still kind of leaning more towards like the secondary guys with Teravainen and on their second line instead, just because he's more established into the system. But who knows? He might not even be out for that long. So tracking the injuries is important, but not take it with a grain of salt, right? Because like you never know when these guys are going to come back.
Yeah, Teravainen's a guy I've been looking at the last little while in terms of roster. I think he was around 60%. So I'd have a poke at him maybe. Kevin Fiala's another guy who's been banged up with a lower body injury for Los Angeles again, who has been playing some excellent hockey. Remember all those conversations we had through the season about LA just can't keep the puck out of the net. They've done a great job defensively. I don't think this conversation is being had enough. I know they've sort of figured out their goaltending situation. The fact that they started the season with Peterson and Quick as their tandem. Now it's Copley and Korpisalo, but defensively they've really locked things in. I think they're a scary team right now, Anna.
They are for sure. I mean, yeah, they made some really good moves. I think we got to give them some credit for that just because Kevin Fiala changed the game for the Kings right now. Their goaltending situation is going to be the biggest difference in my eyes. I think they turned themselves from a postseason team that's going to make the playoffs to maybe even a contending team with the moves that they made so far and the players that they've added. So a lot of good options on that squad out there.
Anna, can you believe we're like a month away from the Stanley Cup playoffs? Has that set in for you yet?
No, I can't believe it. Time is flying. We're in the middle of March. So many things are happening, and we don't even have like a solidified answer as to who's going to be in the playoffs other than Boston. Boston managed to make it pretty clear in March. So crazy year for us so far.
It has been. And that's where I'll leave things off for today. Again, there's a lot of racetrack between now and the end of the regular season. We want to win everybody some fantasy titles too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we're here. You got to listen.
Exactly.
To me.
Exactly where it's at. So that's Anna Dua. Producer Bob Bender. Again, he's getting set for March Madness. He's locked and loaded. We're going to have a recap coming up at some point over the next couple of weeks. But I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy and Ice presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk later this week. Take care.